Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here
with me.
That's me. And we don't have a Venerable Tom.
No.
He's not feeling venerable, although he is. He doesn't feel good. So we wish him well, and we want him to heal well, because the other thing is we don't want him sharing the sprinkles on our donuts like normally he does here, because we don't want to get sick either. So there you have it. This is the time for sickness, I think, sometimes. That wasn't like a spiritual comment. That wasn't like one of these, like, this is a time, it's in the cosmos, you know, or whatever. Yeah. No, that just means it's like when it gets cold, people start getting yuck and crud.
Yeah, right.
You start hearing about that stuff going around. And so we don't want that here at the Catholic Cafe. We hope you are feeling good, feeling better. We are in the middle of a series we're doing on the transcendentals, which is a really cool thing. If you don't know about the transcendentals, you actually do, but you didn't necessarily know they were called the transcendentals.
Yeah.
And we're kind of framing this from the perspective of finding God, how to find God. So when we have atheists, when we have people who are agnostic, people in our lives, even in our family, maybe it's you, I don't know, but people that we know in the workplace, people we care about, have this, there's a lot of people that don't either believe in God or don't care about God, don't think God is relevant to them. And yet, these five transcendentals that we're talking about, really, they permeate everything. That's why they're called transcendentals, right? They're transcendent to all of life, and they can be witnessed. But they're a great tool for evangelization, so we're talking about those. We started with finding God through beauty, mm-hmm. And that was well-received. I actually got a Facebook message from someone who I'm not friends with on Facebook, but he just, it's a guy named Ed, and I can't pronounce his last name, but he's from Florida, a former retired corrections deputy. Good guy to have on your side, by the way. But he just sent a simple little message. Thank you so much for your December 1 radio show in which you discuss the evidence of a creator all around us. I spend a lot of time in nature with my camera, and the symmetry, along with clear examples of design, are overwhelming. You really got a nerve with me. Thank you again. So we appreciate you, Ed. We hope you listen to more. And we're gonna continue with, we'll just call it evidence for God all around us, but helping us to appreciate really how to find God in this world that seems to not know God.
And it's appropriate, too, for Advent, because Advent is about God coming to us, you know, and we talked for our Christ the King show, we talked about, of course, for Catholics, he comes to us through the Most Holy Eucharist in mystery, but he also comes to us in mystery in all these ways, including people who aren't going to, including through beauty, and the topic we're going to talk about today as well, and in all of these transcendentals. And so it's very important, because we might not be able to help an atheist see how God comes to us through the Eucharist, but we might be able to begin by showing how God is coming to him through beauty or through the topic we have today.
Which is goodness.
Yes.
Yes, and we remind ourselves a quote that we read from Bishop Barron on our last show, basically where he said, "Lead with beauty. In the beauty they will see goodness. In the goodness they will see truth." Mm. And we'll go on to expand that to the other transcendentals of unity and simplicity, but really, all these things are connected. Mm-hmm. They're not isolated little islands. There's the island of beauty or the island of goodness. They're not separated. They are all connected and woven together in a seamless garment of creation and experience that God wants us to be part of. And so today we're going to focus on this aspect of goodness. Now, goodness, it's interesting because I've had many, many conversations with atheists or with those that profess to be agnostic, atheists, or any number of things, doubters in the world. I rarely ever have a quote-unquote debate mm-hmm. with anybody like this. I don't really want to ever have a debate.
Well, podiums are hard to find anyhow.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, I thought about having a podium like with little wheels on it that I would push around like a walker for like an elderly person, you know. And it's like, and I would just kind of like wheel it around and, you know, go to the mall. You know, because, you know, you've seen all the memes.
Sure.
You know, God is blah, blah, blah. You know, convince me or whatever,
right,
you know,
right.
Prove me wrong or whatever. So I don't want to engage in that way necessarily, but there are a lot of people that will ask questions. And there's people that want to engage with me or people who, well, would be Christian, Catholic, someone who has a belief in God. But when I'm talking to an atheist, I've always wondered, you know, why are you good? And I've heard many, many explanations.
Like you've asked that to atheists yourself.
Yeah, but what the answers that I get from I am not criticizing or judging them, but you know the untrained layman, the person that's just the everyday person that's out there who hasn't been to atheist school or whatever to look at all the basic proofs for the existence of God and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Which I'm not an expert at all that either. You know, they don't. The answers tend to be something in the realm of, well, in nature, there is inherently things that are at peace or at rest, and scientifically, things desire to be at rest, but at peace. And then they equate that peace with goodness or happiness, right? And so they go like, well, you want to feel good. And if this makes you feel good, you're basically responding to something that's inherently in nature. And so that's what usually comes from those that are kind of on the spot going like, well, since you asked me, I don't know, but...
Right.
But you know, you ask Christopher Hitchens or some of the other folks that are well-known atheists, they have a lot longer, we'll just say, theological answers,
right?
To that, and to those answers, I always just say, "Well, I don't believe in atheism because I think it takes faith to be an atheist."
Well, so one of the things though that's interesting about you asking them this question of why are you good, you are very few of them would say that they're not good, right? But
right.
In terms of being able to pinpoint why they're good, you're inviting them to, in a way, out of themselves to point to something higher, whether they recognize
right.
it or not.
Exactly right. So it's not like it's, well, there is something that like there is a anytime you say the word innate or inherent,
right?
When I hear that word or those words, what I hear is creator.
Right.
Right. You were made a certain way. Because even when they talk about, because if I have a longer conversation, if it's at the mall, you can't necessarily have a longer conversation.
Right.
Right. But when you have an opportunity to, you know, maybe it's at the neighborhood, you know, pub or something, right?
Sure.
You have a longer opportunity to talk. Well, then you can talk about, you know, things that are like inherently this. Doesn't that sound like that they were made that way?
Right.
Right. Other than that, it's like a mystery, right, to them. They would say, I don't know, I don't believe anyone made us. I think we just happened this way. And then you think, like, well, why? Then that is actually, by definition, chaos, part of chaos,
right.
To be made in order, which is a contradictory experience as well.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because with atheists, there are a lot of atheists, including people in the new atheist movement, where they try to use the problem of evil.
Right. If you believe in a loving God, as you say,
yes,
you know, why would he permit a child to have cancer?
Right.
Why would he have a hurricane come and blow some city off of the coastal map?
Why would he allow this or this instance of abuse or exploitation or hurt in the world? Why is there evil in the world? People try to use that to disprove God. Why do they do that?
I know, because inherently, again, here's the inherent part, because what they're really actually kind of in a backwards way saying, they don't realize, I think,
yeah,
is that like, well, that means God must be good.
Yeah, if God exists, he must be good, and because of the problem of evil, they're going to say, well, therefore, he can't exist because, you know, if God exists, he's good, right? And so people inherently just sort of naturally point to goodness and God as being interrelated without even making that psychological
right.
or conscious connection. right?
Yeah, exactly. And I again, now they don't necessarily just suddenly go like, oh man, you know, mic drop moment,
right.
You know, where they go suddenly go like, because of that, I now believe in God.
Sure.
But that's why I always say, you know, well, they're on a journey, and you've planted a seed, and at some point in time in their life, they're going to like yearn in a time that's particularly not good for them.
Yes.
Right? They're going to yearn for that goodness. They're going to yearn for that peace and that harmony in their life. And they may then see that and suddenly realize that they're actually sort of at prayer at that point. So who knows where that's going to lead. But it's interesting that some of the best proofs for God are those that aren't necessarily Christian.
Yes. No, that's true.
You know, we all know Gandhi to be a good man, or
sure,
to have been a good man. And a great example for good people. You know, they'll look at him as like a change agent for the world, you know, for the good.
Right.
And everyone does, even atheists. Everyone's like, that's a do-gooder.
Right.
That's a guy that, you know, in his very heart wants to do good and does good for the world.
Yeah.
Right? And he says all the right things, and he's not a Christian.
Right.
Right? And so they'll look at that and go, like, see, so he's not really on your side. It's like, no. He is, right? Because he has this great quote. I'll let you read it because it's too long. It's got too many words. but he has this great quote that when you listen to it, you go like, okay, he gets it. He may not have received the fullness of God's revelation in a way that we understand it to be leading you to the Catholic Church, you know, through Jesus Christ. But he gets this aspect of goodness and what it tells us.
Well, yeah, so here's a quote from Gandhi. He said, I do dimly perceive that while everything around me is ever changing, ever dying, there is underlying all that change, a living power that is changeless, that holds all together, that creates, dissolves, and recreates. That informing power or spirit is God. And since nothing else I see merely through the senses can or will persist, he alone is. And is this power benevolent or malevolent? I see it as purely benevolent, for I can see that in the midst of death, life persists. In the midst of untruth, truth persists. In the midst of darkness, light persists. Hence, I gather that God is life, truth, light. He is love. He is the supreme good.
I know. So this is like Catholic theology.
I know. He's on the nose there. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, again, life experiences, people that would have witnessed, and he actually was very fond of Christianity.
Yeah.
And had good things to say about Christianity while having a different religious view and understanding. He gets this basic tenet that God is the source of all things. A creator is the source of all things. And so if we desire good, if we have a good reaction to good,
yeah,
if there is goodness, then there is God.
It points to the supreme good, who is God, right? And I think something that's important to keep in mind, too, is there's a bit of a paradox that St. Thomas Aquinas invites us into, that people seek good even when they choose evil. Like, he has a quote that says people choose evil under the aspect of the good. And so, like, what that means is we get confused about what's good, and we end up choosing things. Very few people are actually choosing evil for the sake of evil. And even when they are choosing evil for the sake of evil, like, you know, they are convinced of themselves that which is being called good,
yeah,
is in fact evil or repressive in some
way.
Well,
just think about like a person that desires to have a family and will do anything to get it.
Right.
Like, so going to Target and stealing a baby.
Yes.
Right? There's inherently a good desire there.
Right.
That you're acting on, but you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Right? So things like in vitro fertilization and things like that, you can find yourself like swirling, you know, around and mingling with evil in how you try to accomplish the good.
Yes.
But at the heart, there's this desire for good. So that is a paradox.
Well, and it's funny, too. So, like, so St. Thomas Aquinas, for him, the foundations of moral philosophy and natural law is do good and avoid evil. right? And really, that's a foundational principle for everyone, even though we might have competing definitions about what's good or evil.
Right.
But everyone could agree, if we didn't define good and evil, and we just said, does everyone agree that you should do good and avoid evil? Very few people.
Right. Now, they might bristle a little bit at the word evil.
Right.
Because it has a religious connotation.
Sure.
But if you say, like, there are good things and there are bad things, and you should do the good things because it benefits everybody. It
right.
benefits the world. It allows us to live in harmony with each other, right? So that's where you get these people say, like, I am not a religious person, but I think that if we all don't, I think it's anything goes as long as it doesn't hurt another person.
That's a lot of time where they come down to.
Right. And so at the end of the day, they won't say the word evil, but they'll say hurt.
Right.
Like another person, or cause pain, or disruption, or disharmony, whatever it is.
But that becomes their definition of evil, right?
It's still the same thing. They are trying to avoid those bad things,
right?
The evil stuff, what we
yes.
would call evil, and to continually to do the good things. And this is where you'll get the modern atheist coming down on why I do good things,
right?
But again, it's. They stop there because they don't want to go to the next level. Is like, where does that good come from? Why do we desire good? Why do we desire peace and rest? Why do we desire happiness? Why does it make us smile and feel good? Why does our blood pressure go down? You know, and why do we live a healthier life when we do good things? Right? When we live in harmony with creation in a good way, right? What is the meaning of that? Now, we as Christians, we know what that meaning is.
Well, I mean, we know as Christians the goodness of creation. God created it good. We know the goodness of the human person. And just as we were saying last week, that the beauty of creation, that's God's participation in creation is the source of that beauty. Like, God is a participation in all creation. He is goodness itself. He's the source of all goodness. So God is what makes creation good.
Exactly. 100%. You know, Pope Benedict, his first papal encyclical was Deus Caritas Est. You know, they thought he was going to be like God's Rottweiler when he was elected Pope. You know, they thought he was going to come out with some, you know, here's what we've been doing wrong for the last 100 years. We need to fix it. Instead, his first encyclical was Deus Caritas Est, which just means God is love.
Right.
Right. And so when you look at that, what we're talking about here, God is good. God is love. They're the same thing here. And what I would say is any love that you do, anything that you do in love, you're actually communicating God to another person. Again, this is like an evangelism tool.
Yeah.
It's how we become evangelistic in what we do. So when we do good, we're actually doing God
right.
to another person.
Right, right.
Right. And so we're witnessing God to another person. And so when you do something good, if you do something good and not even say the name Jesus Christ, if you do something good and not say that, oh, by the way, I go to such and such Catholic church, how many times do we have to see these little community fairs or whatever? You know, bring the kids for, you know, whatever. They pass out candy and the little wrappers have, like, come to such and such Baptist church or whatever on Sunday. Or do you know Jesus? And they use it as a tool for bringing people in. But then eventually there's going to be, like, a religious message, which is not bad. I'm not saying that's evil at all. But I will say that sometimes you don't actually need to do that. You just need to do good things.
Mm-hmm.
And that will communicate God better than anything. So when your kids are struggling, you know, if they see in you a witness for good, then what they're going to do is they're going to desire to be like you.
Well, and see, the thing is, though, so on one hand, we have God as the source of all good, and God is the source of goodness in creation and the goodness in us, right? But then we got a lot of people who want to take God out. They want to remove God. They want to remove
right.
Jesus. They want to remove the promise of eternal life. So what happens to the goodness of creation when you remove God, you remove Jesus, you remove the promise of eternal life? We end up having that fear of death creep in. And that throws off our understanding of the good, right? Because if you look at Wisdom 2 talks about how, referring to creation, the stuff of creation, this is our inheritance. This is our lot. Like the stuff in the created world. we got to get while the getting's good, because the good is right here. And when we die, we don't get the good anymore, right? And so then we get confused about the good, and we start competing with each other for the good. So sin is creeping in because of that fear of death, right? And that's wisdom too. And so sin divides us, sin confuses us. But goodness makes us whole. Goodness restores us. You know, goodness refreshes us. It brings us back to who we are.
100%. And I agree with that. And I will say, again, what I'm referring to is like just doing good things and not talking about God. I really am seeing that as a seed planting.
Yeah.
Right? And an opportunity to not win people over so much as get them to know you, to have a relationship with you, and to trust you, and then allow you to lead them in that proper way. And you're right. If we're just merely trying to avoid death or see death as the end, then things become sort of hedonistic. And if you follow that path, there's the more for the potential for chaos.
Yes.
Right? And so, again, it's another paradox. People say, well, I don't believe in God, but I believe in good. Right? I add an extra O in there. So instead of God, it's good, and that's okay, right? Except what you're saying is correct. If you don't understand the reason for the need to be good, which is God, mm-hmm. then you're sort of being good for goodness' sake.
Right, right.
you're just being good, and so you're basically looking for a worldly reward.
Right.
And not understanding why. What that really is not a worldly reward. It's a foretaste of heaven,
right?
Experienced here on earth,
and even just the little things in life. You know, even when people aren't consciously, obviously, if you see someone caring for a person in need, or if you were being cared for in need, in a time of need, then you're going to be able to say, oh, well, that's good, right? But even just the little things in life, the wholesome moments, right? The simple innocence of a child, the affection of a devoted pet, you know, the simple joys of family life. There's something there that refreshes us, that feeds that hunger for goodness and returns us to who we are. Like, there's a link between wholesomeness and goodness.
There's also, though, and it fascinates me, you know, people don't want to believe in God, but they will quickly believe in the devil because they love to go to all the horror movies.
Yeah.
Right? They want to believe in evil. They enjoy going and being scared.
Yes.
Right? But at the same time, what are the other things we go to? What do people flock to? What do movie critics hate? Movie critics hate, like, superhero movies. They tend to not care about Superman and Batman and any number of Marvel heroes.
Right.
You know, you got your DC heroes over here, you got your Marvel heroes, and there's about 1,000 of them,
sure,
apparently, because they keep having more and more movies. They are so popular because people inherently are looking for something in this hero.
Yes.
Some goodness. They want good to be done, and it's like, it's such a basic principle.
Well, one of the things that's cool about heroes is noble self-sacrifice, right?
Yes.
Because the heroes that are engaging in noble self-sacrifice, they are saying that there's something higher than just the created good. They're not just busy getting for themselves the things of the created world. They are dying to self for something higher.
I
so
know.
That is pointing
so
to,
like,
the higher good.
Superman is essentially helping us to see Jesus.
Right.
It's what's happening.
In a way,
ultimately.
Yes.
So it is actually another beautiful religious experience, as it were. And I do want to say that and remind folks, this idea of goodness is something that it is contradictory to sin. There's some opposites here. So goodness is something that's public. It's something you witness. It's something you see. It's done in the public where people see it. And maybe it's just a few people. And it's not done for self-aggrandizing, right? It's not that you're walking around with a hat saying, I'm good. It's that you're doing good things people witness and understand. And this is how we communicate God to other people. Sin, on the other hand, is typically done in private.
Mm-hmm.
It's done in secret. We're ashamed of it. So things like pornography or even a thief breaking in the dead of night so that no one will see the thief doing what he does. Like, sin is something we hide, right? But goodness is something that is public. And so that's another reason why I think that it's so powerful to see goodness as an evangelization tool.
Yes.
Right? That we're seeing God in that experience. I You had told me about something that Mr. Rogers, we all love Mr. Rogers, where he said, you know, when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, so doing good and being good is really one of the best ways to start a conversation about God.
Mm-hmm.
And also to be able to see hope in the world.
Well, you are the light of the world, says Jesus, right? So, I mean, God wants to share his goodness through you. You're called to be that light. So he desires to come to us through you to shine his light, his love, his goodness. And that includes in our conversations with atheists and people who don't believe in God.
Yes, and the Bible tells us not to hide our light under a bushel basket.
Right.
Right? It needs to be seen because there needs to be hope in the world because God needs to be shared to the four corners, and but it has to be done in a way where people trust you and follow you. There's, you know, the Curcio movement in the Catholic Church is really powerful, and it's still active today. And their sort of motto is make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. And I think the most important part of that is not bringing that friend to Christ. That's not possible without that second part, which is being a friend, being trusted, being loved, not just counting. Counting souls won for God.
Be a source of goodness in their life, and you will be a source of God in their life.
So here we are. We're evangelizing. We're helping people to find God in goodness, right? The simple acts that we do, the simple acts of love, of caring. We've seen beauty and things that are beautiful. We've seen the symmetry and the things that make us feel good. But now we're talking about the things that are good, the doings that are good, the acts that are good. And when you see those things together, beauty and goodness, you are going to see at their root and their source is going to be God.
Yes.
We have more on this, and we're going to get deeper into these transcendentals. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.